Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We are back for our final installment in this very important, highly provocative, but absolutely fascinating conversation with one of the great military practitioners of our day and one of the great contributors to national security debate in this country, such as it is, Admiral James Ace Lyons, the former Commander-in-Chief of the U.S. Pacific Fleet, now President and CEO of Lyon Associates, also Chairman of the Center for Security Policy's Military Committee. Now, Admiral, you have been describing a world of hurt. I think it's fair to say we haven't even gotten to Russia or Venezuela or some of the other developments, including more broadly this whole phenomenon of Sharia supremacism and what it means for us abroad as well as here at home. It would be a very full plate for any administration, and I did want to ask you to discuss, having served in quite a number of them over the years and observed others very, very closely, what you make of the current national security team and its seeming disconnect on issue after issue after issue with the president, both the president and the proposals and promises he made as a candidate, but also on many occasions, it seems, his rhetoric as president as well.
This is terribly troubling. The president's basic instincts are correct. He ran on a program. He had the support of the American people, and that's why he was elected. His current national security team, to me, how they got in place is mind-boggling to me, because none of them, and that includes starting with the Secretary of Defense, through the National Security Advisor, through the Secretary of State, none of them seem to be on the same page in supporting the president's objectives and what he ran on. None of this makes any sense. And their continued holdover of the Obama administration people, you know, the first thing you do when you're going to drain the swamp is you get rid of the Obama holdovers. That's number one. Number two is you get rid of the Muslim Brotherhood, who have been implanted in our government for over 50 or 60 years. You know, I got to say, on day one, to me, there's certain things I would have done. Day one, the essential rules of engagement would have been changed, not waiting 6 or 7 months. We had people out there in combat areas whose lives were on the line. That had to be done on day one. On day two, you get rid of all the social engineering mandates that were imposed by the Obama administration, which have done nothing to improve the readiness and capability of our military forces. In putting in transgender personnel and all this is pure nonsense. It is all designed to weaken and destroy our military capability. That can be the only objective. This idea that diversity is a strategic imperative for readiness and mission accomplishment is pure nonsense. It makes no sense whatsoever. As far as McMaster's goes, how he got there is a tremendous mystery to me, because his views are exactly opposite to the president. And in his support of this disastrous nuclear weapons agreement with Iran, should tell it all, he needs to be replaced as soon as possible.
Now, I certainly agree. And Admiral, again, you have long experience with chains of command and the implications of having insubordinate subordinates. Were you the Commander-in-Chief of the Pacific Fleet today, and people south of you in your command were actively at odds with your policies and, well, frankly, subverting them, is there any doubt in your mind how you would proceed?
Not one. They'd be history in a microsecond.
And the absence of that in the case of the National Security Advisor to the president, let alone these other senior positions, as you've mentioned, is, I believe, creating incredible problems. And let me just ask you, we have the spectacle of Senator Bob Corker, the chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee, describing recently, I believe this is a direct quote, the administration's national security team as an adult daycare. This implication being that the president is incompetent and has to be minded. What, again, would be your response to that situation, sir, were you still in government?
Well, Corker would be history. He is part of the problem with the Iranian nuclear weapons agreement. He's the one that prevented it from coming to a vote in the Senate, for, as it should have been, for a full treaty vote. The Corker-Corbin bill is part of the problem. And I understand he's not running for re-election, so that is a tremendous plus.
Indeed. And I have the feeling that had something to do with the president saying he wouldn't endorse him, as well as perhaps in support of an opponent to him. Admiral, let me quickly return to where we began. There's so much more to talk about, but I did want to ask your questions about a question about the Middle East and a nation that has long been an ally of the United States, in fact, is a treaty ally under the North American Treaty Organization, NATO, namely Turkey. Turkey has, however, been of late, as you know so well, increasingly at odds with us. There's a diplomatic row underway at the moment, but would you talk briefly about the role Turkey is currently playing in a very strategic part of the world and what it means for our security interests and how we should proceed, notably with respect to a thorn in their side, namely the Kurds?
Yeah, what Turkey's been doing is very troubling. In fact, the Kurdistan has been one of our truest allies in the Middle East in helping us achieve our objectives and in fighting the Islamic State and driving them into, hopefully, extinction. And certainly, we should be supportive of Kurdistan independence. That's one of the key elements in disrupting the land bridge that Iran is trying to create from Tehran through Iraq, Syria, into Lebanon to the Mediterranean. I see a independent Kurdistan as a key blocking move to that objective. And we should lend our support in every way to that achievement, including setting up a forward operating base in Kurdistan for the U.S. Air Force. At Erbil, you have over a 13,000-foot runway there, one of the longest runways in the world, and it would certainly enhance our strategic position in that critical area. And one other thing I want to mention, Turkey certainly is getting cozy with Russia and Russia's involvement in Syria. But also, we just saw this latest, the King of Saudi Arabia make a visit to Moscow, and they set up certain agreements with Putin. How much of that is going to come to fruition, I'm not sure, but it involves not only the sale of an S-400 air defense system, but also the establishment of Russian nuclear power plants in Saudi Arabia. Why we would let Russia establish that type of footprint in Saudi Arabia and the Arabian Peninsula makes absolutely no sense to me.
Yeah. Admiral, we have to leave it there. There is so much more to talk about, as there always is, but we're very grateful to you for your time today and for the extraordinary service to our country that informs your very thoughtful and much needed views. We appreciate you visiting with us, sir. I hope you'll come back to us again very soon. Admiral James Ace Lyons, the former Commander-in-Chief of the U.S. Pacific Fleet. God bless you, sir. I hope the rest of you will come back to us again tomorrow, same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.